Dear Cheap Astronomy, does life arise from extremophiles, or do extremophiles arise from life? It's often claimed that life could arise from simply anywhere, since we have extremophiles that can survive in nuclear reactors, on the external parts of orbital spacecraft, and in various highly saline, hot, caustic, or otherwise downright inhospitable environments. While true, it's unclear whether such extremophiles arose within those unfriendly environments, or whether life on Earth might have begun in one of Charles Darwin's warm little ponds, from where life then expanded its reach into more hostile environments. That expansion into new environments was mostly driven by competition for resources. After all, today, the only things that can live in warm little ponds are highly efficient biological powerhouses that can outdo the competition, at least until the competition comes up with something new. Long ago, some primitive organisms were pushed out of the ponds and were left to try and eke out a living in the colder and harsher world outside. First attempts may have failed, but the reproducing organisms within the warm little pond would have kept on pushing out new variants until some eventually managed to gain a solid foothold a few centimetres out from the pond's edge. And they were the world's first extremophiles. Of course, today there's not many evolutionary biologists that still go along with the warm little pond concept. Current favoured theories assume that life arose in the oceans and perhaps around hydrothermal vents. Another theory is that life arose on land, or at least under land, indeed perhaps a kilometre under, where the environment is warm and still a tiny bit wet. In either scenario, those first life forms were protected from surface radiation, which would have been pretty fierce in the absence of an ozone layer. It's only when photosynthetic life took off and began adding oxygen to the atmosphere that living on the surface became possible. Before that, what you needed was a stable, warm, and bio-friendly environment within which some primitive life forms had time to develop the capacity to both live and reproduce and also survive unanticipated changes in their environment. It's only when you have those basics sorted out that you can start widening your range into new territories. So, that is the point we're trying to make here. Mother Earth supported the establishment of the many complex and intricate intracellular mechanisms that allow archaea, bacteria, and eukaryotes to survive. The large majority of life's biochemical complexity involves enabling single cells to survive and reproduce. The subsequent steps of building multicellular bodies really isn't as difficult, although keeping those bodies intact and functioning is a whole different kind of challenge. Humans and mammals generally have solved that problem by turning ourselves into mobile warm little ponds. But consider the humble tardigrade, which astounds us by going into a metabolic stasis, allowing it to survive for quite long periods in the harsh vacuum of space. But nonetheless, stasis is stasis. If a tardigrade is to grow and to reproduce, it needs to return to its native environment, the clump of wet moss, which is, to all intents and purposes, a warm little pond. So the idea that because extremophiles can survive in extreme environments, that therefore means life can just evolve anywhere, does not seem like a reasonable conclusion. Earth's extremophiles mostly live on the edge of an envelope which surrounds the warm, rich, energetic and highly bio-friendly planet Earth. The extremophiles who have got farthest away from Earth so far and still remained active, even if they didn't actually reproduce, are of course the humans. We took a whole bunch of E. coli and our other gut flora along with us, as well as a few Demodex mites on our skin, but the effort and determination to achieve the goal was totally us. So, extremophiles? Meh. We are the real extremophiles. Indeed, our next evolutionary step, when we build self-replicating robots, will be the real extremophiles, who will go out and conquer the universe, but hopefully let us hang on, huddled around our warm little pond back home.